This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:20 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about changing shopping habits and in some ways perhaps the death of the hypermarket, because hypermarkets haven't really been doing all that well, and we're wondering whether it's because basically your shopping habits are changing. I mean, do you still shop at hypermarkets? Do you now prefer to go to supermarkets, mini markets, online? There are just so many options now. And what drives those decisions? Is it just pricing? Is it convenience? Talk to us about how you shop, guys. We want to hear. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Like we said earlier, we're going to be speaking after this with Datuk Paul Selvaraj, who is the Secretary General of FOMCA. But first up, we have one of our own.
So we thought, you know, who better to ask about shopping habits that BFM's, other than BFM's office administrator, Crystal Cheng, aka our superhero who ensures that the office continues to run day by day. And that includes making sure that supplies are constantly available. Crystal, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Where do you shop for your groceries?
I usually go to mini market for both the office and home grocery shopping. Yeah. The reason I choose mini market simply because location-wise is more convenient for myself, and price-wise they are much cheaper than hypermarket. Unless hypermarket they are having some promotion on certain items, then I'll check out what are the items I need for both office and home, then I'll make a trip to hypermarket.
Okay, so is price then the main thing that you're considering when you decide where to shop?
Price-wise would be the main factor for me to consider. And also, I'm someone who loves to buy some grocery where I can touch and feel the product. And sometimes when they are doing promotion, price-wise, they could be much cheaper than you do online shopping.
And is there any difference in the quality of the groceries depending on where you buy them?
I feel they are more or less the same. Yeah, just like sometimes mini market could have lower price compared to hypermarket. Yeah. So whereas wet market I hardly go nowadays because it's kind of like inconvenient in terms of the timing. I need to get to work, and also yeah, sometimes very hard to get parking surrounding the wet market. So I rather choose a mini market or hypermarket.
So you mentioned that you don't do wet markets anymore. Have your shopping habits really changed over time?
Yeah, because I guess now the markets are very competitive. So I will have changed my shopping habit. Depends on whichever shop is cheaper. Before that, I always go to hypermarket. Nowadays, I choose to get the stuff from mini market more.
And earlier you mentioned that you do prefer to touch and feel the items that you want to buy. Do you ever do online shopping then?
I do online shopping more for my fashion, more for my dress, but not for groceries. Part of the reason also, like, you know, the price-wise, sometimes they could be much more expensive compared to mini market or hypermarket. And secondly, I feel like I don't want to trouble people to send the goods to me. I rather go and buy by myself. Yeah. I know it's kind of like time saving, you know, you don't need to start in a jam, but still I have that kind of mentality. I don't order food from food for delivery. That's my own opinion. Because people may just get involved in accident whenever they send stuff to me. I mean, just my assumption.
Crystal, thank you so much for sharing that with us. You just heard Crystal Cheng, who is BFM's office administrator. And we're talking today about changing consumer habits in light of the fact that hypermarkets and supermarkets really aren't doing all that well. So we wanted to know, are you still shopping there? Is that your preferred spot? Or have you started diversifying? Are you going online? Have you returned all the way back to wet markets, for example? You can let us know. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 6:30 news, we'll be hearing from Datuk Paul Selvaraj, who is the Secretary General of FOMCA, the Federation of Malaysian Consumers Association. And in the meantime, in answer to our questions, so we have this from Nadia, who says, I stopped physically going to hypermarkets and started buying from Tesco online. The R4 delivery fees beats the hassle of looking for parking, browsing for items, queuing for payment, especially during month end.
And sometimes that R4 delivery fee is essentially just the fee you pay for your parking at certain shopping centres or at certain hypermarkets. And you really don't have to, especially if you're doing it alone, right? You know, I really like and get the appeal of shopping together with your friends, with family, because it is so communal. It feels nice to be able to do that together. Though, yeah, if you're just doing it for yourself, you're just doing it for the bare essentials, then it really does just save so much time.
I quite identify with Crystal's desire to actually look at stuff, though, especially when you're buying food. I do think it's important to actually be able to, like, look at it, feel it, see whether...
Smell it, knock on it a bit.
Is this the carrot you want? Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. We also have a response from Sengat Nena saying, guided by at Ask Hargapedia, which is not the first time we've heard this name.
No, when we did, I think, a story on budgeting for your essentials a while ago, that was something that came up time and time again about how, you know, in terms of cost saving, what is the best way to do that? And that came up, you know, Hargapedia.
Meanwhile, Sharul Nizam says, for sure, hypermarket, you can tapau buy all the things you want since they have a wide range of product to choose from. And I suppose, Cheryl, if you could get back to us and tell us why it is that you don't do that online. Because in theory, you can go to the hypermarket and do that. But of course, you could also do that from the website, which would also have all those things. So what is it that continues to keep you going to supermarkets in person?
Well, you know, the hypermarkets, the thing I found about them was that compared to supermarkets, the range of products is actually so much more, especially if, say, you are a parent, right? Baby products are so much cheaper in hypermarkets compared to supermarkets. And there are some products that are just simply unavailable in supermarkets. They are more high-end. I think Purine is one of them that you can't find in supermarkets.
And finally, Jessica says, I prefer the wet market when it comes to fresh groceries, you know, meat, veggies, etc. And then I buy other groceries at the mini-mart, cheaper, easily accessible. So yeah, we're asking you, where do you shop for your essentials? Because in this climate, hypermarkets are not doing that great. Mm. And so from a time where it was just a huge deal to where it's now becoming
the
less...
weekend family affair, right?
Yeah, it used to be. Now it's becoming less of a deal than mini-markets even, which are their polar opposite. I guess we're just asking you, where do you shop and why? You know, are you driven by convenience? Are you driven by price? Talk to us. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, where our poll currently has supermarkets very much in the lead. After this, we'll be speaking with Dato' Paul Selvaraj of FOMCA. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 6:36 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are being busybodies today and asking you, how do you shop for your groceries and
your
essentials? Pretty much.
Tell us,
where do you buy your stuff? Why do you buy your stuff there?
Where's the good deals? Give us the good deals.
So we're asking not just because we're, I don't know, suddenly transforming into aunties, but because we wanted to know really, like, what have your shopping habits changed? Because the landscape is definitely changing. We are seeing supermarkets and hypermarkets not doing as well, perhaps because people are starting to swap over to mini-mart shopping, which is something that reflected what we heard earlier from Crystal Cheng, our office administrator. Mm-hmm. And in our Twitter poll, which we've been running for about half an hour now, oof, hypermarkets have caught up. I don't know if anyone's following this close race, but hypermarkets are at 33%, supermarkets 48%, mini marts 10%, and online 9%.
Yeah, it is, I think, the crawl, the increasing relevance in our poll for hypermarkets coming up, it is a bit surprising, but I think that might be just differing reasons, like especially if you have a need for different products or if you are more financially savvy and you do happen to bulk shop a lot. So if you happen to have answered the poll and are listening to us right now, do let us know like what specifics you tend to get, whether at hypermarkets or if you have a different sort of allocation of goods that you'd like to get from supermarkets instead.
Which is exactly what Nat is saying. I go to supermarkets to shop for food stuff because I'm particular when it comes to choosing my eggs. I tend to select the pack from way back in the stacks. Leafy greens, got to make sure the leaves are actually still green. Fruits, nothing squishy, nothing overly ripe. And fresh meat, you have to make sure the cuts are good. Everything else, I'll opt for online shopping. And yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think if I were buying dry goods, then I would go on pure price, doesn't matter. But fresh is different. Fresh, I want to make sure that, like, I know what I'm going to be cooking.
You don't happen to trust the person select. Let's say you buy something from Tesco online or something. You don't happen to trust the person who might be able to pick the best goods for you.
They're not living in my house. They're not going to eat the food I make. You know, I don't know. Azami says, I buy my weekly supply of groceries at the Pasatani, wide range of products, and it's a weekly family activity. I prefer the hypermarkets over the mini markets. It's cheaper if you buy in bulk with more varieties to choose from. I have not resorted to online buying yet. Peace sign.
I think for me, it's like a bit more price sensitive, I'd say. I think just depending on on certain products, you know, I do tend to say buy some stuff online. I do, for example, grocery shopping. That's where it's more in supermarkets because I do enjoy browsing. It is a bit therapeutic to be able to just, you know, look at them, not necessarily buy them, and then also be able to see, oh, this is a new product at a supermarket. Then maybe I could try them out one day when the budget allows for it.
Janie says, I split between the hypermarket for price, the wet market for fresh soy products, and to support smaller family businesses. Some of them proudly say they grow their own produce. I also enjoy going to the garai for local kampung fruits, leko, goreng pisang, and yes, to support the pakciks and makciks. I feel that the small gesture helps to bridge racial divides, and with the current social climate of calling for boycotts, more of such initiatives is necessary.
Oh, that's lovely. And I think, you know, being able to form like very strong social bonds and relationships with these smaller sellers, I think it's so essential because they will be able to tell you, oh, I have the freshest stock for you today. Please do come by and shop if you want to.
That, and also I think when we talk about buying local products, especially recently, we tend to get very caught up in things like palm oil, for example, especially because it's been linked so tightly to being patriotic and so on. And I'm not, you know, necessarily disagreeing with that. But I think that there are many, many ways to spend your ringgit in a more patriotic way. And Janie is illustrating one very important point, right? Which is keeping local businesses afloat, which is supporting people who have been doing the same thing or who have been working in this one thing for a very long time. And you want to keep that going. And I think that's super important.
Yeah, it is. And then if you happen to care more, say, about the environment, if you happen to care about, you know, for various health reasons, the kind of products you're buying and the impact could have on you, you could have that very immediate conversation, right? You know, sometimes if you do happen to ask someone working in a supermarket, they might just not know. But then if you happen to have grown it yourself, you have that information at hand, and it's a closer exchange and you happen to be able to trust them, right? Because they grew it themselves.
Both Nini and Intan Sabrina are saying that they shop at specific supermarkets primarily because of the point system, which I think a lot of people are very drawn to. And then we also have this message from Colin who says, retail's being turned upside down, but it's not true that hypermarkets and supers are dying. It's only certain ones. NSK and TF Mart are expanding big time. Ben's, Jaya, Village Grocer are growing as well. And it's true. You are seeing a proliferation of certain names are continuing to, every time an old one dies, you know, you are going to see, like, say, a Jaya Grocer or something come up in its place. So I don't know, maybe it's something worth looking into what it is exactly that's that consumers are enjoying about some specific supermarkets and hypermarkets and not others. And then we have Dr. Liana Khairuddin saying bulk food stores to reduce plastic and reduce waste.
It's, I think, you know, just on that note about those that might be dying, right? In recent years, we have seen the closures of several stores and they are more legacy ones. They are older ones. So the likes of Giant and Cold Storage. And I think this year we've just seen about 6 outlets close so far. And, you know, the big boy of this market, GCH Retail, they've in the past, in 2014, operated about over 140 stores, but now they have less than 100, right? And this closure, the closures were first reported by The Age in July, and the article then went on to say that, you know, more and more are expected. So maybe just between these two, it is shrinking, but there is room for growth, as Colin suggested.
So we are going to be speaking after this with Datuk Paul Selvaraj, who is the Secretary General of FOMCA, the Federation of Malaysian Consumers Associations, to get that perspective, to understand a bit more. Earlier, we heard from one specific consumer after this, perhaps a broader view. But keep those thoughts coming. We want to know, do you think that Malaysian shopping habits are changing? Are yours changing? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:44 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're just concluding this story that we've been covering about whether or not the retail landscape is changing dramatically in terms of hypermarkets and supermarkets not doing so well, and people starting to perhaps look more to online shops or to online ways and mini markets in order to get essentials. Now on the line with us is Datuk Paul Selvaraj, Secretary General of FOMCA, the Federation of Malaysian Consumers Associations. Datuk Paul, thank you for joining us. As we mentioned earlier, Retail Group Malaysia have observed that Malaysian consumers are preferring to shop more often in mini markets. Is this something that FOMCA has observed as well?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we interact quite a bit with consumers to understand their purchasing patterns, especially not only in the economic environment, but also in terms of their cost of living. Now, when hypermarkets and all that first came in, you know, people who regularly go to provision shops or mom and pop shops used to go to hypermarkets. I mean, you know, the place for convenience, comfort, nice ambience, and of course, even the price were less, or generally less than, you know, the normal provision shops. And people also had more time, I believe, at that time. But especially at this time, when I think the primary factor is price, price, and of course, also convenience. A lot of these shops have come up in which they may offer limited items, mini markets or limited items, but they are very competitive in terms of pricing. So very often for consumers today, the major factor is price. So I think this is one of the trends. And in some of these mini markets, the prices are even lower than hypermarkets. And if they are close to the homes in terms of convenience, that is an added plus. So we certainly see a trend of people moving away from hypermarkets to mini markets, where, especially when prices are lower.
So we touched on hypermarkets, mini markets. What about wet markets? How do you think they come into the picture?
Well, people still need to buy fresh vegetables. And again, I think one of the defining factors is pricing. There have also been some newer supermarkets kind of thing, which is quite closer to the homes. And also is dependent on availability of the pasar pagi or pasar malam or pasar tani or whatever, where people can get. So very often, people compare prices and choose where they think they can get the best deal. One interesting thing that we find nowadays is that those days people used to buy for a week, quite a bit, and then, you know, that was until the next shopping. But people are buying, very often I see now, people are buying smaller quantities, you know, and then they go to shop, where possible, they go shopping more often. There's a bit high, more sensitive in terms of wastage and spending a lot, you know. So I see generally people are buying much less than what they used to do last time, more frequent, so that the amount of quantity they buy is sufficient only for 2 or 3 days. So this seems to be a new purchasing pattern.
And where do you think this pattern or these changes are coming from? Does it say anything about really, I guess, lifestyle changes as well?
Well, I think lifestyle plays a major effort, but I believe that the major factor is still cost of living. I mean, those days when we had some of these convenience stores, the prices were expensive. And also at that time, I guess people were more comfortable with the money that they had. But when things are tough and when there is a more choice in terms of lower prices, that would be the preference. I think this reflects of being more cautious in your spending, and spending less compared to previously. And this reflects how price has become a more dominant factor rather than other things in the current age, where very often incomes are not rising as much, while cost of living is increasing. So people are making adjustments to face this kind of new economic environment.
So, you know, some time ago, shopping at hypermarkets used to be a weekend family activity. Given that this has changed, do you think people's lifestyle habits have changed as well, along with changes in their shopping habits?
I think, you see, when the hypermarkets were new and for quite some time, there was not just shopping, you know, browsing around. There was a kind of relaxed environment, broad spaces, aircon and all of that. And it was a kind of activity apart from just shopping, you know, taking the family out and a lot of other activities and all that. But currently, I feel when the pressures of cost of living, people are looking for price. And people are looking basically on price. And affordability becomes a major issue. And while, again, I mentioned earlier, the mini markets were often more pricier compared to hypermarkets. But today, there are some who are well-known, very well-known. If you talk to consumers, you mention them only, they will tell you, yeah, this is the cheapest place to go. Although their stocks may not be, you know, complete compared to hypermarket, but they still feel the saving is sufficient for them to move to this kind of shopping pattern compared to the old, where they were more comfortable with their money, relaxation was important. Now, prices play a major role in any decision making now.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Datuk Paul Selvaraj, Secretary General of FOMCA, otherwise known, of course, as the Federation of Malaysian Consumer Association. We've been talking about the changing retail landscape and also just trying to understand your shopping habits and how they've changed, because that, of course, ends up contributing to what we're seeing in terms of how well businesses are doing.
Yeah, I guess it also means that what's interesting to find out is now that there is this gap in how people are choosing to spend their time, now that we no longer really spend those hours at hypermarkets walking around and shopping, you know, people do still go to malls. Parking is extremely hard to find at any shopping mall. So when you do go to malls, I just wonder what else people are doing. You know, are they just window shopping? Are they happening? Do they happen to use the spotting facilities that's available, or are they just there to watch a movie?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you can tell us your thoughts. Why do you shop where you shop? Do you think that things are changing? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us is Vicky. Vicky, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening. I am blind, so my preferred way of shopping is actually online. Because if I go to the actual shop, supermarket or mini market or whatever, I cannot see everything. I don't know the price, I don't know the brand, I don't know, and most of the things nowadays are packaged out. Even I can't touch and to know what they are. So my preferred way is actually online, but On occasion, I do go to the wet market or the mom and pop shops because they actually get the things I want for me, but not the mini market because I have to shop by myself, which I couldn't. But the only problem with online shopping is that many developers in Malaysia don't know how to build website that is usable by the blind. So halfway in my shopping, and you go to the next step, and I find, oh, I must use a mouse to click. A blind cannot use a mouse because it means controlling the cursor with the eyes. The blind cannot do that. I use a keyboard. So it's not, I cannot click using a keyboard. It must be with a mouse. So after about the whole process. So now currently the only online shopping I go to is actually Tesco. All the others I tried is unusable.
Vicky, I'm sorry to hear of that experience, because I was just about to ask you whether or not those websites were user-friendly. I mean, have you ever gave them feedback? Because I would like to know if they were receptive to it.
Yes, a few of them I did actually contacted them, sometimes by phone, sometimes by email. But Tesco is the one who actually, only one that actually responded and asked the developer to do something about it.
Vicky?
All the others didn't bother to respond.
Oof. Okay. Well, I mean, I hope things improve. And thank you so much for calling and for sharing that perspective. I think that's really crucial, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody needs to buy groceries, and it should ideally especially when you're touting convenience, it should actually be convenient for everybody.
And it only makes very good business sense that your website can be used by as many people as possible, right? Where right now, malls mostly are, you know, accessible by almost everyone. And if you are able to just attract a certain market, then you are also, of course, able to increase your profit. So if they don't invest in this, it doesn't help anyone, right? You want to make sure that the person that isn't able to access it, who are least able to access these services, can at least get into and use the website properly.
We've actually covered this on the show before, but I think we should do it again, because I would really like to know whether or not this is something that's being baked into processes from the start. Because it's one thing, I mean, now Vicky and, you know, people who are also in you know, parts of the community that perhaps have different abilities, that perhaps have different needs, are now all going to have to individually call, pepper people with complaints, hope for change. But if you do kind of build it in from the start, then at least that isn't going to be so problematic. We also have this message from Kohila, somewhat to do with the subject of online purchasing as well, saying, I still go to the supermarket or the hypermarket. I experienced buying some dry items through Happy Fresh Ones, which included a pack of orange juice, just to find it open and left with only half a bottle. It was my first and last purchase for groceries online.
And that's why it's so important to make sure that you get your services right, right? If you
asked me about trust earlier. This is why.
Well, so far I haven't experienced anything as awful as that. So I'm thankful that it hasn't happened. But it is a risk, right? Because in platforms like Lazada and Shopee, for example, sometimes what they do, they are just essentially platforms. They don't do... correct me if I'm wrong, they don't do quality checks or quality assurances on the products, because you have to essentially trust the seller. If you happen to get a bad one, of course you can get a refund, but then you have to go through the whole inconvenience and the whole trouble of having to return a spoiled product that you thought was good in the first place.
So winding things up on this, our poll has been going on for an hour, and as it stands, people are still shopping in hypermarkets and supermarkets more than anywhere else. Together they have 83% of the vote, so I think at least based on the 110 people who voted, it seems that hypermarkets and supermarkets are doing just fine. Keep it here on the Evening Edition. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.